I want to encourage your faith today. And you see, in our world today, we have more information about Christianity and the Christian life than ever in human history. But it isn't information so much that we need, though we are told to increase in knowledge and information, but it is the activation of that information. It is what faith produces that we need, especially in this hour. You can read thousands of books and listen to thousands of tapes and messages online, but in the end, God has to do something inside you for there to be a miraculous difference in your life. And so I want to encourage your faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And when you hear the word of the Lord, the Bible says faith comes. Faith comes. And when faith comes, it delivers grace. It delivers divine, supernatural provision. So I'd like to speak to you today about the supply chain in a corona world. The supply chain in a corona world. Actually, the Bible has a lot to say about supply. And I was reminded of this when the lockdown first started here in the UK. I went to Sainsbury's, and I got there, I think, probably in the second or third day, and late in the afternoon. And I was shocked. There was not a lot of food left, especially of certain items, on the shelves. As some of you will know, there was no toilet paper, there was no pasta, there was no flour, there was no beans. A lot of things had just were totally gone. And what happened was that in the panic, people thought, well, I won't be able to go out and there might be a shortage. And so they were rushing to load up everything they could. And the stores couldn't keep up with this kind of expenditure of stock. They didn't have a supply chain in place that would restock the store in time to meet this incredible instant panic-driven demand. And so this whole issue of supply chain started right from the beginning and continues to today. And so I want to talk to you today about supply chain in a corona world. Read a few verses of Scripture as we begin with Ezekiel 14 and beginning with verse 13. It says, "Son of man, if a country," and I might just interject here, "if a world sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it and kill its men and their animals, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord." What is it I want to take from this passage? I want to take from this passage is that ultimately God is the source of all supply. He's the source of all supply. And if he doesn't supply, it doesn't matter what men and women do. If he doesn't supply you with breath, you can't go to work. If you aren't supplied with health, you can't accomplish anything but be looked after. So God is ultimately the source of supply. And in our world, this word supply chain refers to the process by which resources move from the source to the user. So in terms of the grocery store, there is the source, which is the farmer, and it's got to go from the farmer to whoever packages it, and then whoever packages it to the distributor, and then from the distributor to the store, and then ultimately to you, to your table. And so this is called the supply chain. And it is this process by which resources move from the source to the user. And there's a lot of anxiety about this today. Perhaps not so much in the UK, but people are saying, where am I going to get food? How will we get, as we are asking today in other countries, where will we get masks and gowns and personal protection equipment, medicine, hospital beds, and hundreds of other things that people consider to be essential to their life and sustaining their life. How are they going to come if the supply chain can't keep up or is broken or doesn't exist? And so it's vital for us that we don't just try to get through it and cover our heads with fear and hope for the best. But as believing believers, we recognize that there is a supply chain that works when this world's supply chain falls down. And God has some principles upon which His supply chain works. And I want to share those things with you today because God wants you to hear this message so that your faith is activated in relation to the supply chain. So no matter what happens in this world, your supply chain continues to provide what you need. And so I want to look at 2 Corinthians 8:14, where it says, "At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need." Here we have this word supply twice. God talks about your plenty supplying for others, and then when you are in need, their plenty supplying for you. And you might say to yourself, "Well, that's great, Pastor Rick, but I don't have the plenty now. How can I supply somebody else's needs? I'm looking to get by myself, survive." Well, do you know what you have? I like for us to discover what you really possess. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 says, "We have not received the spirit of the world." And I pause there. We've not received the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world has lots of characteristics because it comes ultimately from the spirit who loves to kill, to steal, and to destroy, to rob. And so the spirit of the world is the spirit of fear, of shortage, of lack, of suffering, pain, of death. It says, "You've not received the spirit of the world." So if you've not received the spirit of the world, then you have to unplug from anything that looks, sounds like the spirit of the world. Because the spirit of the world is out there. Every time you turn on the television, if you leave it on very long and listen very much to the internet and the television about what's going on in our world, the spirit of the world will begin to shrink your spirit and begin to dilute and take away what is so vital for your life. It says, "You've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that you may understand what God has freely given us." What has God freely given you that's not, or that's contrary, contradictory, opposite to the spirit of the world? Well, let's look at this in relation to the supply chain. And there is a great Bible story I want us to refer to as we look at this supply chain. And we exercise faith. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm sure you probably understand, know this story if you've been around church very long. But I want us to look at it and verse by verse, take from it some powerful truths that if you'll take these personally, you will plug into what is told in this story about supply. And actually, this word is actually used in this passage. 1 Kings 17, and just a little bit of background here. This was a time of famine. The prophet had proclaimed a famine in the land. Interestingly enough, God had spoken through the prophet. There was a famine in the land. And God supernaturally looked after Elijah. But then that season came to an end. And God gave him some fresh instructions in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. And it says, "Sometime later the brook dried up where he had been staying. And because there had been no rain in the land." And when you have an agricultural economy, if you're land's not getting any rain, the crops aren't growing, there's no food. That's pretty simple. So verse 8 says, then the word of the Lord came to him. In this story, we see that God's chain of supply, or his supply chain, begins with the word of the Lord. If you look somewhere else, ultimately, for supply, especially in this time of great testing in our world, you will be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. I mean, I'm sure you've all been to the grocery store and you had your list. You had those things that you were out of and that you needed and that were essential to something you needed to or wanted to do. And sure enough, you got there and that whole shelf was empty. It was empty. So here it says, then the word of the Lord came to him. God wants you to hear the word of the Lord in this season now more than ever before in your life, because he wants to show you that he is prepared to be your father, your God, in the midst of this supply chain issue. It says, go at once to Zarephath of Zidon and stay there. In other words, lockdown. Elijah, I'd like you to go and lock down. And then it gets even more strange. Go at once to Zarephath of Zidon and stay there, for I have commanded a widow. I've commanded a widow. Let me just draw this point from this particular verse. God says, I have commanded a widow. In advance of your going, God knew that Corona was coming. He knew there would be huge issues with supply chain. Every day, my inbox gets filled with people telling me of the things they require. The regular supply chain of this earth has dramatically failed. What are they going to do? But here the Bible says God has commanded. He has commanded provision for his own in advance. He knew it was going to happen. He says, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply. There's that word, supply chain. I've got a supply chain for you, Elijah. I've got a supply chain, and that's going to meet your need. He'd already had the supply chain the previous place, but now that wasn't working. So now God says, I've got another supply chain. I've commanded a widow. I want to give you 1 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7 in the NET version. It says, who by God's power, this is God's people, are protected through faith. Protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's a salvation in the last time, in the last days, in which you and I are going to be protected by our faith. This brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is more valuable than gold, gold that is tested by fire. I want to say to you today, God has given you a faith that works, and it works in response to a command he's already given for your supply. And as we look at the story here, we see it says, I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. God's supply chain doesn't necessarily come from the usual expected sources. Here's Elijah in the time of famine and drought when there isn't food about. And God says, I have commanded a widow who's also enduring the famine to be your means of supply. So it's so important that you disconnect from thinking that it's all going to be logical and sequential and according to the pattern that you're used to, that you get in your vehicle and you go to the shop and you get what you need and you go home. No, God is interested in revealing who he is in every season of life. And he stands sharply in contrast to all human effort. When he is believed for a miracle, he shows up. So he says, I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So it says he went to Zarephath. If you are going to plug into the chain of supply that God has commanded already in your behalf, regardless of whether you have a job or business or no business, or you're living on the street or wherever your circumstance is, God says, I've commanded your supply, and it's going to require you to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And if Elijah hadn't been obedient to the word of the Lord, he would have starved, because God says, that's my chain of supply. He could have argued with him and said, hey, wait a minute. You know, I was fine with the ravens before bringing me the bread and meat, though that was kind of unusual and strange. But now you're asking a widow? Come on, God. But obedience is not based on logic. It's based on your faith in a God who knows everything and does things different than your natural way of thinking. So, as we carry on in the story here, he says, so he went to Zarephath, and he came to the town gate. A widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? So he says, okay, this is what God said. God's going to, so the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to act as though God's word is true, that this widow will be my chain of supply. So he asks her, first of all, for water. I was listening to a news report just the other day of some people in an African nation who were saying, one of our great struggles right now is just to get water. Just to get water. Probably most of us listening today don't struggle necessarily just to get water. You have a tap in your house or some other means. But there are those who are struggling to get water. And so Elijah says, will you bring me a little water, in his obedience, in his acts of faith, so I might have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this woman's name. He doesn't tell us that Elijah had any previous relationship with this woman, that he knew this woman, or that she was a relative. She was just a widow. He ran into her, and he asked for water and bread. And flies in the face of what we naturally think. But as I said at the start of this message, we're so accustomed to thinking in tracks and patterns and traditions of natural thinking that often when God wants to get our attention, he has to use some shaking in our world to get us to look outside that track and put our faith in him. And as she was going to get it, he asked for the bread. And here's her response. She says, and as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any. I don't have any. This is a message around the world. We don't have the masks, the gowns, the ventilators, the hospitals. We don't have the graves. We don't have the food. We don't have this. We don't have that. I don't have any. This was someone who was assessing her own inventory of resources and saying what she saw with her eyes, I don't have any. Now, why is this story in the Bible? We have to ask ourselves, why is the story in the Bible? It's in the Bible because God wants us to understand how much we're often prone to be like the widow woman and say what we see with natural eyes. But what God wanted to do is he wanted to show both the prophet and this widow and so many others in that time and us and you what he's prepared to do when you put your trust in him. So he goes on to say, she has a response. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied. She says, I'm not lying to you. You've asked me for water and bread, and I'm about to tell you some sad truth. She replied, "I don't have any. I don't have any." Now, was that true? Yes, it was true, and no, it was not true. And I'd like to say that to you. As you look at the landscape of your provision, you can say, "Well, I don't have any. I don't have a job. I don't have any money. I don't have this. My business is shut down. I don't have any income." I like to say to you, what she said was true but not true. And God wanted to show to her, as well as the prophet, what she said was not true, the sense in which she said was not true. "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." And, you know, that's really what comprises the spirit of fear. You will not have enough, and you will suffer the consequences of not having enough. And that's what she said. "I don't have enough. And what I have is only just going to last for long enough for my son and I to have one last supper, one last meal, and then we will die of starvation." And it's amazing how if you project forward with some perception of your apparent provision, you can cycle yourself into deep depression and thinking that your life is about to end. If corona doesn't get you, starvation will get you. Maybe you'll have to spend some time living on the street. And that's really what we see in this story. And Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid." God is saying to all of us who are ready to put our faith in Him, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And this is so important. If you are going to plug into God's chain of supply, you have to deal with what will prevent you from plugging into it. And that is fear. Fear is the world's faith. It is a believing of a negative nature. It's believing that I access all the information and there isn't this, there isn't that, there isn't the other. Therefore, I am going to be short. I'm going to be out. I'm going to be destitute. That's the faith which is called fear in this world. And God commands us throughout scriptures many times. He actually says that in the end, hell will be filled with people who are cowardly and unbelieving and fearful. So we see that fear is a spirit designed to paralyze your spirit and cause you to suffer great loss. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid." You got to say to yourself, okay, regardless of what I see or hear, whatever the world is saying, the government's saying, the economy's saying, regardless of all those voices that have come my way, God has commanded me now in this season of my life not to be afraid. Yeah, I'm disobedient if I choose to be afraid. He says, "Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son." Now, this is really one verse that defines the gospel in a nutshell. And so we understand this chain of supply that God was revealing to this widow woman. He said, "You don't really realize what you have. You're only assessing what you have based upon what you can see with natural eyes. But when you exercise faith, you move into a level of provision that you never had before you exercised it. She was full of fear, a negative faith. I don't have any. But when you move into faith, you say, I do have. And so God makes the story profoundly simple for us to understand. It says, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the earth. He was really saying to her, your provision will come out of your apparent poverty, and it will come by your giving. And so, a heavenly supply chain begins with a change of perspective and attitude. If you don't change your perspective and attitude, if you don't change what comes out of your mouth, if you don't dial down and diminish and destroy fear and choose to allow the word of the Lord to provoke faith inside of you, you will be destitute. You will be. Because faith is first a decision. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 says, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. You got to take a stand on the inside here, in your heart and with your words. You got to take your stand. Everybody else can be suffering loss and lack and thinking about the terrible things that are happening and might happen and could happen. I am taking a stand that I have plugged into a heavenly supply chain. He says, you have taken your stand. By this gospel you were saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. You hold firmly to the word. So all kinds of conditions can ratchet up. What are you going to hold firmly to? What you see with your natural eyes? Or are you going to hold to the word of God, to the word of the Lord, what God is speaking to you today? You see, God knew the famine was coming in Elijah's day. He had actually spoken it through Elijah. He also knew about Corona and the shortages that are going on around the world today. And so it's vital for us to realize this fundamental principle of sowing connected with supply. Sowing connected with supply. God was saying to this woman, you don't really realize what you have. You said, I don't have any. God says, you have more than you know. You said, I don't have any bread. God says, you have more than you know. If you will respond in faith in this circumstance, your provision will not be as you've seen with natural eyes, and it won't run out. It'll be miraculously flow to you. You know, God is faithful. He's faithful, as this story says, and you can read it later with your children. It's a great story. God's chain of supply doesn't break down. Because, you see, there's a warehouse from heaven. A warehouse in heaven. Romans 5:2 says, we have access by faith into grace. The warehouse of heaven is grace. It's the unmerited favor, blessing, provision, everything that Jesus provided through his death on the cross, that's in the warehouse of heaven. And Romans 5:2 says, we have access, we have a doorway into that supply by faith. Faith is what gives us access to the warehouse. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 says, his divine power has given us everything. So you begin by saying, I have everything I need. Everything we need for life. Everything you need for life. God says you have it. You can't say like the widow who only saw with natural eyes at the beginning, well, I don't have any bread. I have everything I need for life. Somebody might come in your house and stay here 2 meters or 10 meters away and say, you say you have everything for life. Well, what do you mean? I can see your cupboards bare. you can say, I have everything I need for life. You've stepped into a different mode. You see differently. You're not looking at things temporal, but things eternal, the things that belong to you because of the promise of God's word. He's given us everything we need for life. You see, a promise is a supernatural provision seed waiting to be planted in the soil of faith. When that promise is planted in the soil of faith in your heart, it produces. And, you know, there's really no point in having access to all of the heaven's resources if we don't take advantage of it. Most of the time in our history, we haven't had to. We could go to the shops and get what we needed. We could go online and Amazon would provide it. And then all of a sudden, Amazon didn't have it. Or if they had it, it was 40 times the price what it should have been. There was shortage everywhere. And so it's important for us to decide what we're going to do. Because the Bible speaks of the exceeding riches of grace. In Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8 says, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us, He lavished on you. So one of the names on the door of the warehouse of heaven has your name on it. The exceeding riches, the exceeding supply. God's not stingy or short of supply. Philippians 4 and verse 19, probably a verse known around the world, says, my God shall supply. Supply. My God shall supply. The supply chain for the believing believer isn't Sainsbury's, isn't Amazon, isn't whatever earthly source you've been looking for. It is from God Himself. You know, not too long ago, I was with one of my spiritual sons in Uganda, and we were scheduled to feed 300 orphans plus the staff that were looking after them. And so Peter and his team, they purchased rice and beef, some chunks of beef in a rice bowl, and some soda pop and a mosquito net for each one of these 300 orphans and the staff that look after them. And so we set about feeding them. And so they all came and lined up and queued up, and we sat there, and Tina was there, and Dean and myself and their team, and we would take this massive pot, and we had enough food for those 300 orphans and the staff. However, there weren't 300 orphans and the staff. There were 500. We had food for 300, but there were 500 who came. They'd never had food like this ever before in their lives. But we were dishing out the food. Everybody got the same amount. There was enough for 300. But we fed all 500 and the staff right down to the very last bowl of food. What happened? What happened? The heavenly chain of supply caused there to be a multiplication of food. So 200 more orphans got to eat the finest meal of their lives that day. I want to tell you, miracles, the supernatural, aren't just for stories of the Bible or stories for the mission field or stories for elsewhere. God is saying to you, He's saying to me, I want to do miracles in your life, in your family, in your finances, in this season where everybody's thinking about shortage, because there is no shortage with God. And so I want to quickly give you, in these last few minutes, some practical steps that actually affirm what you really believe, that your source of supply, the supply chain, the source is God. It's the exceeding riches of His grace. And that chain will not be broken as long as you and I are believing. Because His provision never runs out. I want to say to you, every previous miracle in your life is a testimony that you need to rehearse in this season, because God uses his history in your life to refire your faith. And across the globe, many Christians have found God has met them financially in one way or the other. And more than ever now, you need to rehearse those miracles. Take some time with your family today or on your own and count your blessings aloud and say, Lord, I remember. Say it aloud. Lord, I remember when I was without a job. Lord, I remember when I didn't have money for this bill. Lord, I remember when you provided this miraculous amount. And share that, as the Bible reminds us time and again to remember and rehearse and say again the works of God. So let me give you these practical steps. Number one, rehearse your faith-based access to God's supply in the Scriptures. I gave you Romans 5:2. You can look at Ephesians 2:18 and John 1:16. John 1:16 says, "For of the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another." God says, I got so much up here, I got enough for everybody. And I'll just keep it rolling. You keep believing, I'll keep it rolling. It may come from a widow. It may come from this source or that source. But you keep believing, I'll look after you. I'm your dad. I'm your father. I'm your father. I love you, and I want to look after you. So rehearse those scriptures. Secondly, make those declarations aloud. Make them personal. Go to Philippians 4:19 and say to the north, the south, the east, to the west, say to the devil, the demons, the spirit of this world, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches, his warehouse of supply and glory. Thirdly, sow something into someone else. That's what God was teaching us through this story with the widow. She was to sow into the prophet before looking after herself. Do it today. Ask the Lord where to sow and what to sow. Do it today. Don't delay, because what you are doing today impacts your tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 9:6-13 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, even during Corona, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies, there's that word again, he who supplies seed will also supply an increase. Supply an increase. You see, this giving generosity is your supply chain in operation. Luke 6:38 that you know says, give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. You know, you only have one other banana to give. You can put it on somebody's doorstep and knock the door and run away. You may have a spare chicken. You may have only one item. Whatever he tells you to do, sow it. And he will show you, he will prove to you that he is true to his word. Fourthly, write down what you did. When you sowed, write it down. If it's a done deal, then record in advance of seeing with natural eyes your harvest. I'm writing this down because I believe it's on its way. Number five, do whatever else he tells you. He tells you to do something else, do that. Be obedient. John 2:5. Number six, give thanks and praise. Worship the Lord. Shut down worry and fear and anxiety. Those things according to the Bible, according to God's eternal word, are fundamentally illegal. Number six, get on with loving others and leave your supply to the one who has it all in motion. You do what he says, as Ephesians 6:13 says, after you have done everything to stand. When you've done everything God tells you to do, and you say, Lord, is there anything else? You don't hear anything else? Stand. Be at peace. Be at rest. Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. I want to encourage you today to pray the Lord's Prayer aloud. That's a great supply chain prayer to release heaven to earth, even in natural terms. I want to encourage you to take a couple of songs and sing them along with your family or just yourself. Number one, give thanks with a grateful heart. And number two, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Now, as I promised you, I want to speak a commanded blessing over you today as I finish this message. Because I believe that even as I speak and you hear the word of the Lord, if you embrace the blessing as not from this pastor, but if you embrace this blessing as a word from the Father who will not lie, God will cause your supply chain to open up. Before I speak that blessing, while I was preparing this message, my wife and I had decided on some giving we were doing, some sowing beyond our regular tithes and offerings. We had set it aside, we had prayed over it and blessed it. A little bit later, my phone buzzed, and it was someone who was wanting to sow more than double what we had already decided to sow into us. What was happening there? I haven't spoken to these people. They are not a part of our congregation. God was giving me a reminder, giving us a reminder of how his word works. I'll look after you if you walk by faith in me. So I want you to get a hold of your purse, your wallet, wherever you are right now. I want you to have one hand on your purse or your wallet, and the other, put that on your heart today, because I want to speak a commanded blessing on you today as we finish this message. So while you have your wallet and your hand on your heart, I'll bless you now. In the authority of Jesus' name, I command the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to come upon your heart, first of all. Your heart, your inner man, your inner life. Be blessed in your inner life with peace and with joy and with righteousness. I bless your heart, the center of your health. I speak the blessing of the Lord upon your entire body, upon all the blood that flows from your heart throughout your entire system. For life is in the blood. And I command your blood to be 100% whole and healthy. I command your health in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command health in your relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your relatives, with your neighbors, with your associates, in the name of Jesus. Be blessed with the blessing of the Lord, the joy that comes from having the blessing of wonderful friendships and relationships. I bless you in your finances now, in Jesus' name. The blessing of increase without sorrow, the blessing of generosity, the blessing of faith upon you even now as you look to listen to the Lord and respond to him in these days. I bless you in your spirit and your mind to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord in these days When the world is dark, the light is shining for you as the blessing now comes on you, on your body, on your home, on your family, on your finances, on your business, and your ministry. In Jesus' name, receive it. God bless you. If you have a testimony or a prayer request, please write to us and we will respond. God bless you.